Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Bradley Buckles, Director, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And one of the things I was interested in is that ATF has published a customer service plan. And I was curious if you could tell us about the plan and who your customers are.
Sure. Maybe before I talk about that plan, I'll mention some of the backdrop on developing that. ATF has been in the forefront on trying to redesign, re-engineer the way we operate and to operate more like a business. Traditionally, governments didn't have to operate like a business because, unlike a business, they didn't have competitors. And they also were a creature of statute or law that fixed what their responsibilities were and how people had to deal with them. We've seen over time that more and more the government is being expected to act like a business, to prove its value every day. I think that an agency like ATF that has had a history of people challenging whether or not we should exist, how we do our business, has, from a government agency point of view, been very difficult, and not every agency has had to face what we have. But what we've tried to do is turn that challenge about our existence and our worth to turn it around from a liability to an asset, and that asset being that we're going to be able to prove our worth. And so we've going down a path that's going to attempt to hold ourselves more accountable, to make it ourselves accountable publicly in order to prove our worth. Customer service plans is just one of those elements. We have performance plans and goals in our strategic that arise out of our strategic plan as well. But the customer service plans deal with both internal and external customers, to get back to that question, and basically is going to cover anyone that we have to do business with. That's going to be people that we license, people that we pay taxes to us, people who have to file, different kinds of applications and approvals that we're required to make in almost all the industries we regulate. So that's the major part. We also have, in the law enforcement arena, we have law enforcement customers of our firearms tracing capabilities, customers of other law enforcement services that we can provide to state and locals. And with those, we're trying to set plans on each one that's going to measure what it is the customer wants and whether or not we're delivering what the customer needs, so that when we're asking for money and appropriations, we can show to the Congress what it is we're doing with the money they gave us, who the customers are, and whether or not we're satisfying that need.
And you also mentioned in the list of plans a performance measurement plan. Could you touch on that too, please?
Sure. Now a requirement of the federal government that every agency is supposed to set up some sort of performance plans that show how they're meeting their strategic goals. I like to think that we've been out front on that at ATF. We're going beyond simply performance measures of what we're doing and trying to show the actual outcome. Challenge ourselves in showing the outcome of what we're producing as well. And again, it's very important when we go to the Congress and are asking for money, we're almost challenging them. Look at what we do. Look at how much money you're giving us to do it. And we'll challenge you to go anywhere else and see that somebody else can do a better job at this or do it at a better value. And that's the challenge that we want to be able to put forward. We're confident that if we're measured against other people on those goals, people will readily see the value and worth of ATF.
A key factor in the success of any organization is its people. Could you tell me about the ATF personnel system and the career path of an ATF agent?
Sure. I'll start with the second one. The career path of an ATF agent is normally we're hiring as agents people at a fairly young age, generally either straight out of school or perhaps with two or three years of law enforcement experience, quite often at a state and local level. And the one of the challenges we have on attracting people is that since we're a nationwide organization, we need a workforce that's mobile. So we have to attract people who are willing not only to suffer the the challenges, the threats, and the dangers of being a law enforcement officer, but the disruption of being moved and what that does to one's family. So it's a difficult challenge that we have. Normally, an agent, if we have somebody who rises to the level of an assistant director, you're talking about people who have probably moved in a minimum of 7 times in their career to go through progressively higher level positions. They'll generally have to move when they're going to become a supervisor. They'll move again when they're going to become a manager. They'll move again when they're going to become an executive in the field. And somewhere in there, they're going to have come in and out of headquarters a couple of times before they reach that higher level of operation within the Bureau. But throughout that, I think what gives us an advantage is people who are drawn into the law enforcement profession, unlike others. There's a certain dedication to the profession that allows them that allows them to put up with some of those problems because they believe in the larger mission that they're trying to carry out as law enforcement officers. We wouldn't have the same success with people in other fields in ATF if we were uprooting people who were personnel specialists or contract specialists. You wouldn't have that same willingness to go through the moves and suffer that kind of disruption. So we've got two or three workforces within ATF. The agents are one major portion. They make up slightly less than half of the Bureau's total population. We have inspectors who are they are not sworn law enforcement officers, but these are the employees who inspect licensed premises and ensure compliance with the regulatory requirements. And we have chemists, auditors, we have lawyers. And as you can see, lawyers haven't been required to move, unlike agents. So it's a very diverse workforce that we deal with at ATF, and the agents are just one segment, and they tend to be what people see because they're our most public segment of the Bureau.
Have you had problems recruiting?
Not too much. It's surprising. It's a dangerous field to move into. There are a lot of law enforcement agencies that are trying to hire these days, but ATF's reputation within the law enforcement community seems to always give us a leg up on hiring. I know even other federal agencies sometimes groan when they hear ATF's hiring because there are agents in other segments of the federal government who have left other agencies and come to ATF.
One of the challenges, or what are the challenges of managing an organization that's nationwide? As I understand it, something like 331 field offices. How do you manage a decentralized organization like this?
Well, that is one of the greatest challenges. Now, when it comes to law enforcement operations, the business is driven by what the problems are in each location. And we can have law enforcement officials who are basically empowered to respond to the problems that are taking place in a given area. It becomes a more of a challenge when we talk about our regulatory responsibilities, where we're licensing somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 180,000 businesses around the country. And when we have offices all over the country that are interacting with those businesses, advising them on how they're to conduct business to make sure it's in compliance with the federal law and regulation, it gets much more difficult to keep the consistency that you have to have in a regulatory environment, which is different than you have in a law enforcement environment. So that is the greater challenge that we face, I think, with a decentralized organization. And we try to carry that out through a whole variety of things. But I have to tell you, information technology, internet, and similar communication systems are rapidly improving our ability to get information out and to maintain consistency without trying to direct every single decision out of headquarters to remain consistent.
And how about the training of ATF employees? I'm just curious, what kind of training is offered?
Well, we have one of our major directorates is an Office of Training and Professional Development. We consider that a major part of our business, both training our own employees, and we do considerable training for state and local and other federal officials as well. So with that office, we're able to provide extensive training, for example, with agents and inspectors. The main occupation series have very detailed long-term training programs that they have to go through before they can